Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll look at the last four verses of that chapter. Chapter number 5. And if you'll join me on the odd-numbered verses, we'll read responsively down from verse 18 to verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Stand with me, please. 2 Corinthians 5, I'll begin there in verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so easy for us as Christians to look at the world and to look at how much they need you and to think of how needy they are. But Lord, we are a needful people too. Lord, how we need to hear from you tonight. We need to get something from your word. Lord, something to encourage us, to help uplift us in your faith, and help us, Lord, to be strengthened. Help us, Lord, to take what is said to challenge us. Lord, to work on what areas we need to in order to be more like you. Help us tonight, Lord, but be with the special music. Prepare our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease, he gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. Savior is near, my Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near, he ever watches over me. Worries all cease, he gives me peace. How can I
alone, and I face the unknown, and I fear what the future may be?
I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. Jesus is King. He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. I trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fear away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease, he gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? I will not fear with him.
Blessing. Thank you, young people. Good song tonight. Well done. Now, you can see that there's still quite a bit of sickness running through the church in the children's ages especially. And I know sometimes it's a struggle whether or not to bring your child to church, keep them home. Are they contagious? Esther and I were talking about that today, especially in the nursery. Use your head. Just be careful if they're not running a fever. But if their nose is all gunky and they're running green and yellow, ladies, moms, you kind of know sometimes things aren't the best. And a lot of times they can be contagious. We're going through round two in some cases here of some of these things. And so please make sure your wash rags are clean. And I'm not Dr. Angel. Well, I am Dr. Angel, but I'm not a very good doctor. I don't have any patients. So, but anyway, at least that's what my wife tells me. I don't have any patients. So can't be a very good doctor. Seriously. It's frustrating because you want everybody to be in the services, sometimes things like this are beyond control, but I just hate to see it, and I appreciate people filling in, like some of mother-in-laws, mothers filling in for daughters who've been out of church with sick children. That's a help. We had Abby with whooping cough for 6 weeks in Iowa. We could not take her out of the house for 6 weeks other than to the doctor with whooping cough, and Joyce's mom came and stayed with her, Abby, a couple of times during that 6 week period to get, because I don't care who you are, you go without church. You say, I just listen on the internet. It's not the same. The word church means what? Assembly. Assembly. You can't assemble on the internet. You can listen, that's all you got. Better than nothing. But in some way, some cases, so just be careful. I hope you'll never use a sickness, a sniffle as a reason to keep, stay home. Don't ever use that, and the nursery said, no, the nursery didn't, and Esther, we're well aware that you're going to get some kids in there that have a sniffle that should be in church that are not contagious. There's a difference in being sick, contagious, and just having a little sniffle, okay? But you just got to use your head. Be careful. And, try to be clean at the house. We try to be clean here and see if we can get through it. And maybe we need a good cold snap. That's what we need. Kill the mosquitoes and the germs. It needs to get down to about 15 degrees. Amen. Well, there's not much response there, but anyway. But Brother Stone tells me that the dew point is falling, which means nicer weather for the next several days. So that's good. Amen. All right, it has been hot. And the mosquitoes are terrible. Mercy days. You just get swarmed at night. But anyway, I don't know how I got off on all that. We would like love for everybody to be here tonight. Obviously, that there's not. There's some that are out with kids and repeats, and that's just the way it goes. I'm going to finish what I started this morning. Okay, you should always finish what you start, right? So I didn't finish this morning, so I'm going to finish tonight. Quick review, and then we'll get into the last half of this message on our divine appointment. Look what Paul said at the end of chapter 5 in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, our divine appointment. Father, we pray that you'll please help us tonight. You helped us this morning. God, please, as we look at this passage, open our eyes to it. May we open our hearts to truth. May you help me with the review, not to belabor anything. I want to say exactly what you want me to say. And then, Lord, just bless, I pray, our church. Be with our hearts. May our hearts be tender tonight. May our hearts be receptive tonight to your word. And I'll thank you for it. Touch us and help us in Christ's name and amen. We're talking about this thing of being an ambassador. And I won't go through all of that I went into this morning about what an ambassador, for the different ambassadors to the different countries that I talked about this morning. But an ambassador is, I said this today, an ambassador is sent to a foreign land. An ambassador, they are in the country, but they are not of the country. They are a public testimony for their country, and they represent their sovereign. Those are four things that are true about the ambassador to Ecuador, the ambassador to Saudi Arabia, the ambassador to England, the ambassador to wherever. Okay? Those four things are true. Now, Paul said that saved people are ambassadors. Okay? He's not just talking about himself and his traveling companions. It is a reference to the fact that all of us are ambassadors. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Have you been reconciled to God through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? If you're saved, you've been reconciled to God, and the only way you can get reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ. So who is he talking about there? He's talking about all of us, okay? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Every saved person is an ambassador. Okay? And one of the things that an ambassador does is he represents the power and dignity of his sovereign. He is to be in managing the public concerns of his sovereign. And I said this morning that the public concern of the Lord Jesus Christ, preeminent above everything else, is the salvation of lost souls. It was not that the deaf could hear, the blind could see, the lame could walk. No. If it was those for those purposes, why did He die? He died for people to be saved. I'll promise you, friend, that's His public concern. His primary and public concern. Now, as His ambassador, that becomes our primary and public concern. I talked about the fact that we're sent to a foreign land because this world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're strangers and pilgrims down here. I talked about the fact that ambassadors are in the country but not of the country. And in John 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus said, Father, I don't want You to take them out of the world. I want You to leave them in the world. Keep them from the evil. And leave them in the world so that as You sent Me to the world, even so they can go to the world. So we're in the country, but not of the country. And then they're a public testimony. You and I are a public testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they represent their sovereign. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know it or not, but you've been given a divine appointment. You say, I didn't really want it. You got it? It comes with the whole kit and caboodle. It is our divine appointment. We are ambassadors for Christ. Okay, I talked about the main ministry of an ambassador is that of reconciliation. We see that in verses 18, 19, and 20. The word is used five times in three verses. The law of repetition enters into play here because God's not repeating Himself because He runs out of something to say. He's repeating Himself for sake of emphasis. Reconcile. What does it mean? It means to call back into union and friendship, to restore to friendship after estrangement. So, Brother Mick and Brother Luke, jump up here again. We got a new person playing God tonight. Amen. We'll just let Brother Luke stay the center. Okay, right here. Okay, so creation, God and Adam are in great fellowship. They're walking together in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, the deceitful serpent comes along and Adam sins against God. And when Adam sins against God, his fellowship, his union, his communion with the Father is broken. God didn't move, Adam did. God's the same. All right? Jesus Christ comes to this earth. Whose plan was Jesus Christ coming to earth? It was the Father's plan. Jesus Christ comes to the earth. He dies on the cross. He's buried. He raises again from the dead. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only vehicle, if you'll let me say it that way, that can restore sinful man to God. Handshake. Reconciled. They're back together again through Jesus Christ. That's reconciliation. Okay? So this is the public concern of Christ. He gave His life for it. Shed His blood for it. So that man and God could be reconciled. Okay, thank you, fellas. They're very good. Now, we said this morning that to each one of us, according to verse number 18, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Look again at verse number 18. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The word ministry is service. I preached this morning. Everybody I'm looking at tonight is in the ministry. We have to grab this concept, folks. That reaching people for Christ is not a pastor thing, not an assistant pastor thing, not a bus captain thing. It's a church thing. It's all of us. And let me say, there are different ways for people to be involved. If you can't be physically, you can't be the one that goes out and actually knocks on the door because of health concerns, or maybe your work schedule will not allow you to come to the organized times of soul winning, you can always take gospel tracts with you. And you know, you can be involved in the ministry of reconciliation right here in this church. No visitor, this is the honest truth, no visitor should ever sit by themselves. And you can be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. You can't go out on Tuesday, you can't go out on Saturday. You can kind of wait around the back doors there. You see a visitor come in and sit by himself. You can walk up and introduce yourself. Hey, are you new here today? Well, my name's so-and-so. I'm a member of the church. We're glad to have visitors. Hey, why don't you sit with me today? Why don't you sit with me today? Come on, maybe you don't put them on the front row. Maybe you come a third of the way down or something. But you're involved in the ministry of reconciliation. And folks, that's teenagers. That should never be a teenage visitor sitting by themselves. Never a college-age student sitting by themselves. This is a church thing. Because to us, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Okay, that's our service to God. We want to try everything we can to try to reconcile sinners to the Lord, to God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said last Wednesday night, I'll say it again tonight, said it this morning, in John chapter 1, Andrew finds Peter. That's family finding family. Maybe you have family members. Philip finds Nathanael. That's friend finding friend. Andrew didn't win his brother to Christ, but he brought him to Christ. So maybe you bring him to the service, and they get saved here. That lady that was talking about this morning from Roland Brother Jeff's bus just that one Sunday, she got saved in church. Other people get saved in church. One of the fellows that just got recently baptized was saved after church on Sunday night. Brother Bragg called him and took him to the office and went into Christ. This man got saved yesterday at the home. You know, it's the ministry of reconciliation. We're all in this together. And I said this morning that it would be a wonderful thing, and I don't guess it'll ever happen, but it'd be a wonderful thing for any church if everybody kind of gets the picture that this is all of us working together. And it's not that, you know, it's always better that it's not as good when only a part of us are doing the job that's designed for the whole of us. Does that make sense? Okay? So it's the ministry of reconciliation. You say, I just don't have the gift of gab. You don't have to have the gift of gab to sit by somebody. And just encouragement, by the way. When you sit with somebody, you want to be engaged in the service. And that's why it doesn't hurt. Even if you don't say amen loud, at least loud enough for them to hear, because they're hearing stuff they've never heard before. And then when you say amen, you believe that too. It helps. It's the ministry of, you know, we've got to somehow, and I've said it Wednesday night, said it this morning, say it again tonight, that I have to bear ownership of this thing. I don't think I have promoted this enough. I don't think I've taught it enough. I don't think I've demonstrated it enough. That it's not just a select few people. It is our ministry as a New Testament church. Amen. The ministry of reconciliation. Now, let's go on to what I didn't cover this morning, and that's a very brief overview of about a 40-minute message this morning. I want you to see, first of all, the ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. Now look at the word of reconciliation in verse number 19. Read it with, just watch it as I read it, follow along as I read it out loud. To wit, that God was in Christ. Think about this. Reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So here we are. We are to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. And God says, in order to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation, you've got to be involved in the word of reconciliation. Folks, they have to hear the message. They have to hear the message. You say, well, Pastor, that's what the church is for. Well, that depends on your definition of church. If you define the church as this building, and your mentality is the building is a place for us to get the word out, then okay, I can agree with that. You know, we get it out in Sunday school. We get it out from the pulpit. We get it out in this way and that way inside this building on Sundays and Wednesdays and other days of the week. But if you give the correct definition of church, which is the assembly is to take the word of reconciliation and get it out beyond the four walls of the building. The word of reconciliation needs to go to the area, the Kankakee River Valley area. The word of reconciliation needs to go to the office where you work. It needs to go to the factory, the dock, the warehouse, the neighborhood, the streets and lanes, the highways and hedges. It needs to be taken to everybody, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, because they're all precious in His sight. It's a word of reconciliation. Because those who need to be reconciled must hear. I didn't finish this message. My other message is right behind it here out of Romans chapter 10, where I was going to talk about the fact that folks have to hear. They have to hear. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They have to, if the ministry of reconciliation, if this sinner is going to be reconciled to his God, he is going to have to be told how he can be reconciled to God. He's got to hear it. Look, for sake of time, because I want to give Brother Mick some time tonight, won't turn to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19 tells us that every 24 hours, the whole world hears a sermon. Read it when you get home tonight. Psalm 19. Every 24 hours, creation says to man, there's a God. And that message is preached over and over and over, and that message has been preached since Genesis 1. Day unto day uttereth speech. Preaches. Creation. Has the sun... I know that the terminology scientifically isn't exactly correct, but the way we use the terminology, has the sun ever come up on any other horizon other than the eastern horizon? No. Has it ever set anywhere but on the west? No. So day after day after day after day after day, creation preaches a message to the whole world. And Romans chapter 1 tells us what that message is. There is a Godhead that is eternal and powerful. That's what the message says. And it's preached every 24 hours. Man has one of three reactions. Man says, I don't believe it. No, there is no God. Well, that poor fellow, he doesn't quite see it. That's not what Romans chapter 1 says. Romans chapter 1 says, anybody that denies the existence of the Godhead holds the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress it. They know it in their heart. They take the truth and they squash it. They suppress it. They smash it down and do away with it. But brother, don't you think for one minute that they won't be held accountable someday. They know what they're doing. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's another group that hears the message that creation preaches every day, day after day after day after day. And that group says, yeah, you know, I agree that somebody put all of this together. And somebody holds it all together. They've been doing it for a long time because every 24 hours the same thing goes on. But rather than have an open heart, a seeking heart, saying, God, who are you? Talk to me. Who are you? How can I know you? What they do is they make a God of their own imagination. And guess what their God allows them to do? Whatever they want. Because when man makes an idol, he always makes an idol that is indulgent of his own vices. Folks, why do you think when the Greece was the world power and Greek culture ruled the world and then carried over into the Roman Empire, why did they have temples of worship that involved prostitution? They were worshiping God with prostitution. Because the God they recognized was not the true God. It was the God of their own making, and they decided, I'm going to make me a God that's going to allow me to do what I want to do. And they're perverts. So one group looks at creation and says, well, you know, somebody put this all together, but you know what? I don't care. There is no God. But deep down in their heart, they know there is, and they'll be held accountable someday. Second group says, yeah, there's a God, but I don't care about knowing who the real God is, because I'm going to put this as my God, and this God's going to allow me to do this, 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 and fulfill the desires of my own flesh. I'm a pervert in worshiping God. Then there's a third group. That third group looks at creation day after day, uttereth speech, night into night, knowledge, same thing, every 24 hours. for eons and eons now of years over and over again since God created it. Somebody put it all together. Somebody holds it all together. Some God somewhere. Who are you? Where are you? And you know what the problem is, folks? Creation never answers. Creation creates in man, if man will let it, a desire to know who this God is. But creation can't give them the answer. That's why the word of reconciliation is committed unto us. Us. We take the answer. So the Spirit of God works on hearts through creation. The Spirit of God works on hearts through circumstances. The Spirit of God works on hearts through difficulties. The Spirit of God, and why are funerals such a good place to see people saved? Because their hearts are tender. And the Spirit of God works and works and works and works and works. But before they get saved, before they're ever reconciled to God, somebody involved in the ministry of reconciliation has to take the word of reconciliation to them and say, who you're really looking for is Jesus Christ. He loved you enough to die for you, was buried, rose again, paid your sin debt, and if you'll trust Him, He'll save you. The word of reconciliation. It could be in the form of a gospel tract. Hold your finger here. Hold your finger here. Look at Acts chapter 10. Look at Acts chapter 10. It could be in the form of a gospel tract. It could be in the form of a verbal witness. And you say, folks, can I kind of walk out on some thin ice tonight? You know, I think it's best if you have a New Testament and you can talk to somebody about Christ, showing them the verses in the New Testament. And I think next to that, a gospel tract is a good thing that has the Bible printed on it. Let me ask you a question. Just because that verse is printed on a piece of glossy paper, is it still not the Word of God? Sure it is. Let me ask you a question. What do you think they won souls with in the New Testament? The book of Acts? The book of Romans, I mean? The Romans wrote? They didn't have it. You know what they won souls with? The gospel story. They won souls with the gospel. Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, what do you want us to do? Just, I want you to use the New Testament. That's what I use. If I have my preference, I like 45 minutes of a person's time. I had that yesterday. 45 minutes of a person's time, verse by verse, showing them here. If I don't have that, I'm going to give them a track. And you know what? If I don't have that, if I'm just in an encounter with somebody and I don't have a track and I don't have a New Testament, it doesn't hurt to just give them the gospel story. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. I don't prefer the wordless book. I don't prefer that. But if you can tell the gospel story with a wordless book and tell it right, I don't think you 2 minutes of, hey man, you ever done wrong? Oh yeah, well there's a hell. Oh yeah, I heard about that. I heard somebody say the word the other day. Yeah, Jesus died. Oh yeah, I know that. Well here, pray. Yeah, be careful. But, we say some weird things. I'm talking about preachers say some weird things. And years ago, a prominent preacher said that, if you didn't get saved out of the King James Bible, you're not saved. What? What about all those folks that got saved before 1611? And Joe Boyd went to that preacher, sat him down, and said, look, you need to stop saying that. And he did. The King James Bible is not the power of God into salvation. The gospel is. The King James Bible has the gospel in it. So does that track out there on the wall. I'd be careful about using a track that didn't have the gospel in it. Robbie Heiner, anybody want to go to heaven, just say, I do. Anybody want to walk on golden straights, just say, I do. There's no gospel in that. Are y'all with me tonight? All right, look at Acts chapter 10, look at verse number 22, that we've looked at this before, but just to redo it. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Do you see that? Look at verse number 44, same chapter, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these... Is he reading out of a New Testament? What's he talking about? Well, read the whole thing. He's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Acts chapter 11, verse 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Is it any wonder that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and said, the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Those of us who have been given, in verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation hath been committed unto us. I love what the songwriter said when he wrote the words, sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life, offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life, anyway, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words. Words, 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 words. They have to hear the words of reconciliation. So you're given the ministry of reconciliation. We're given the word of reconciliation. That's what this is all about. Let's get the word out. Let's get the word out. Let's get the word out. Should we get it out to Chile? Should we get it out to Argentina? Yes, we should. That's why we got those missionaries out there. But we should not overlook Hersher. We should not overlook St. Anne. We should not overlook... all the towns around here, and especially not Bourbonnais, Bradley, Kankakee, get the word out. The word of reconciliation has to go out through the mouths of the ministers of reconciliation. That's me and you. Are we together? It's not just one person, it's all of us. All right, now number three, the burden of reconciliation. Look at verse number 20. And I will not preach long on this. Let me just point out to you his language in verse number 20. Look what Paul says back in 2 Corinthians 5. As though God did what? Beseech. Folks, that's not a passive word. That's an aggressive word. Beseech you by us. Look at what next thing he says. We what? Pray you. You know what Paul has? He has the burden of reconciliation. The burden of reconciliation. Paul had the burden of reconciliation to a degree that I don't think any of us have ever had it. Because in Romans chapter 9, Paul said, I could wish myself accursed that my kinsmen, according to the flesh, would be saved. That's a burden. That's a burden. You and I can be burdened for that sinner who is estranged from God and needs to hear the word of reconciliation. We can be burdened for them. Paul had the burden. Number four, the cost of reconciliation. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is how reconciliation is made possible. Christ became sin for us. He had no sin of his own, but he became our sin. He died by the shedding of his blood, was buried in that tomb, rose again to pay our sin debt. Now, our sin is paid for. The barrier between man and God has been removed. All man has to do is receive Jesus and the work that Christ did, and he's reconciled to God. It's pretty free to man, isn't it? But it sure cost Jesus everything. Everything. Bringing him to him was a great cost. And we sing the song once in a while. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Great price of my pardon, His own precious Son. Knowing what it cost Jesus to reconcile us to God, dare we think it is too much trouble for us to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation, to take the word of reconciliation? I don't think so, folks. And I'm leaving room tonight. I'm leaving you a little wiggle room. This is a church responsibility, all of us. So if you can't get out and put your feet on the street, pray on Tuesday for those who are going. And look for an opportunity to give a gospel tract or speak the gospel message to somebody at your office, in your factory, at the break room. You know, and then if you can't get out and beat the streets when you see a visitor walk in this room, slide up next to them. You know, leave your comfort zone. I like to sit with my friends. Can you sacrifice that one service? It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's given to us. And the word of reconciliation is committed to us. And the cost of it was Christ, God's own Son. We just need to do a better job of telling folks, getting it out the best way we can. That's our divine appointment. I'm a heavenly employee. I've been given a heavenly appointment. I'm an ambassador. Ambassador, angel. That's a nice ring to it. Am I fulfilling my responsibility? That's the question. You know, something like this. I throw this stuff up on the wall. It's just to have a little bit of fun and make it a little bit exciting to do what we should be doing anyway. So just jump in, have some fun. It's our divine appointment. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, try to preach your word tonight in truth, in spirit and truth. I don't berate the folks. I just ask, Lord, that we might consider this responsibility that's laid upon us as ambassadors of Christ. Get the word out. The ministry of reconciliation through the word of reconciliation, that God, sinners might be reconciled to you. Oh, please help us. And the great price that was paid to make it all possible, it should not just, Lord, go in one ear and out the other. It should touch our hearts that Christ gave Himself so that we could be reconciled to you. So, Lord, help us these weeks. Please speak to our hearts. Challenge us, oh God, in this area, our Christian responsibility. Help our church. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What can you do? That's what I would like you to ask yourself tonight. What can you do? And if you can't walk up and down the street, pass out tracts or knock on a door, you can pray. You can look for people who are visitors. You can be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. What can I do in this all-important ministry with my divine appointment? I don't know how much time we have left. Let's be busy about the public concern of our sovereign. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. If you're not saved, a great time to get saved or baptized. The Lord speaks to your heart in any way, shape, or form tonight. You obey the Lord. You come to the, you spend a little time at your seat in prayer, here in prayer as the ladies play song of invitation. You ask the Lord to help.